And today we're going to continue talking about new beginnings, sort of on a different track, looking at Mark 1, pulling some themes that perhaps provide something of a template for looking at a new year, where to refocus and reframe resolutions. So we'll look at kind of maybe a template for some Christ-focused resolution making. So let's pray and get things started. God, we ask that you would use this time to help consider what challenges you might put in front of us in this new year. Help us consider what you'll call us to, what we need to leave behind, how we'll serve, and how we'll grow closer to you. Thank you that you walk beside us in these endeavors, and they are only possible by your Spirit. Help us lean on you as we walk into the new year, that we could be thoughtful, intentional, and discover still new ways to be your church and a light in this hurting world. Amen. Well, we're going to take a long chunk of scripture and we'll read it. And we're going to chunk it up a little bit, looking for some of these New Year's maybe resolutions, reconnecting with Christ themes. So I'm going to take some time to read this chunk, Mark chapter 1, still verses 16 through 39. It's a longer chunk, so sit back, relax, and enjoy. So, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. As they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So in the midst of this, we're going to borrow some of the themes out of this chunk of verses and see how these verses might help us maybe build some sort of framework for building our New Year's resolutions. But New Year's resolutions focused in on Christ that might be useful in our journey of faith. So throughout this, we're going to consider, where is Jesus calling us in the new year? Maybe what needs to be left behind in the new year? How might you serve in 2021? And how will you grow closer to Christ throughout the year? So we'll start off with what I'm kind of imagining is a peaceful scene back when Jesus is calling the fishermen out of their boats. The sun is just up, maybe on a busy waterfront, and Jesus is walking along the sea there and starts inviting fishermen to follow him. I don't know, all we get of the conversation is the "come follow me." I don't know if further terms and conditions were laid out somehow. I don't think there was a pamphlet explaining exactly what they'd be following Jesus into. But still, the disciples know that this isn't a simple "follow me today," "hey, come, let's grab lunch" sort of thing. Seems to be a commitment to follow him and walking in his footsteps, learning from him and growing. This "follow me" carries both an invitation to come and follow, as well as an invitation to leave where they're currently at. I find something wonderfully beautiful about the simple call of "come follow me" as well. It invites us into the work of things together. And it seems to represent partnership, companionship, and something bigger than just recruiting others to do a task for you. It's recruiting others to do a task with you. And there's this relational component to it. Jesus is calling people to himself, to follow, to serve, to give up old ways of life, to learn and to be disciples. Over the years, I've heard a number of messages and descriptions of these fishermen that are being called, them being likened to swearing sailors or gritty or out just getting the work done, common people that are out doing work. We won't go too far into their backgrounds, but one thing we can walk away with is Jesus seems to call regardless of our current state. Jesus's invitation is coming out here to common men without credentials, without a strong resume, demonstrating progressive responsibilities and how they're using their gifts. And I find that really comforting. No matter my lack of qualifications or past performance, Jesus meets me where I'm at and calls me to follow him onward. So our first big resolution question to ponder is, where is Jesus calling you in this new year? And in some sense, we may not know. And the whole point is to follow Jesus without necessarily knowing where we're going. That certainly seems to be the boat we find ourselves in this last year. That I don't know what is changing around me, God, but I'm going to follow you. There's a reliance and trust in that that may stretch us if that's a challenge. But let me think further about what might Christ be calling you to. And it's a big question. The most immediate answers might lead you into even deeper answers. So a question worth sitting back and spending some quiet time pondering. Maybe the new year, developing your relationship further with Jesus, spending more time in prayer, memorizing scripture, caring for a loved one, maybe starting making repairs to a strained relationship. My quick, easy answer is always caring for my family. But then with some time in prayer and asking God to take me deeper in that, it turns into a deeper helping lead and disciple two small rambunctious boys so that they might continue laying their own foundations in their faith. As we consider where we're being called, I think we have a perpetual call to grow in the fruits of the Spirit that we see in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against things there is no law. But think through where you're seeing those fruits in your life and which ones maybe are most prevalent, maybe which ones are most absent or less prevalent. Maybe connect someone with someone you trust and get their perspective. But overall, pray that God would help you grow in this area. In connecting daily with God and throughout your day, making growth a priority, making your own effort, but also remembering that this fruit is coming solely from remaining in Christ. Leaning on your relationship with Christ and asking him for help, stay mindful of where you need to see needed growth and growth to follow. So as we continue on in Mark, we come to our kind of second resolution template. Jesus drives out an impure spirit in verses 21 through 28. We won't get into impure spirits or demons here because I think that's a much more complex topic. We'll leave that for Aaron and Reed and Greg and those that have studied such things extensively. But if we simplify, maybe broaden that for the purpose of our New Year's resolution question of what in your life needs to be removed or left behind in this new year, we might be able to address that and frame that as a question. And perhaps that is an impure spirit. Maybe it's a bad habit that you've picked up that just isn't very loving towards your family or neighbors or yourself. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 reminds us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off. Is there an area of your life that you may subconsciously be keeping him out of? When I think of things, of throwing off things that easily hinder and entangle, I can't help but chuckle a little bit. And an image comes to my mind that I will never forget, and I'm going to share it. So now that you will probably never forget it either. In our earlier days of potty training, I have a distinct memory of Samuel standing in the living room playing. And it was like a switch flipped in his mind. He stood up immediately, declaring loudly that it was time for him to urgently go potty. And from there, you might think that maybe he would run to the bathroom to resolve the situation. Not so much. Instead, he pulls his pants down in the living room and starts an unnecessarily slow waddle to the bathroom. Thankfully, he made it. So the story ends well. But we can all see that that maybe wasn't the quickest route to the goal. In both Samuel's situation and the metaphor found in Hebrews of running the race and avoiding things that entangle, the issue with these things is clear. They're holding us back from doing our best in what we've been called to. Now, the Samuel story is funny to me, at least. I can't help but wonder what's in my life that's making me waddle towards the kingdom of God rather than the full-on sprint that I desire. Thinking through this also reminded me of the tradition in the church during the season of Lent, of giving something up in your life to help you grow closer to God. And thankfully, that practice isn't bound to just the days leading up to Easter and fits in nicely with our resolution setting that we find ourselves in right now. Why not pick something to eliminate maybe right now? And then treat the Lent season as a reminder or renewal to that, or a chance to go even deeper. We've got a new year in front of us. People are making changes left and right. And if we want to give something up, maybe now is a good time to focus in on that as well. In our next set of verses, Mary has a fever and Jesus comes by and cures her fever. And she immediately begins serving them. I don't know if you're like me when you're sick. Once I'm, moderately better, I'm still sort of in lounge mode for a little bit, recovering my strength, even if whatever sickness has left me. But the image I get in my mind when I read this is Mary's cured of the fever and she just springs right out and begins serving. So we can add the question to our New Year's framework: where and how will you serve in this new year? Mary encountered Jesus and her immediate response was to begin serving. Now, it's no doubt that our world looks different today. It seems that absolutely every letter and Christmas card that we've received in the last 6 months has started with just about that exact phrase. We are reinventing how to serve others in a world where the way we've always done it doesn't necessarily work anymore in lots of cases. We've received gifts that are to be used to serve others. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 through 11 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." That verse, the verse prior, back with Mary, is mentioning the hospitality. And that's a great example of a gift that's turned on its head right now. How do we do that in the current state of things? I think every gift has its own set of questions like this today. The gifts God has given you are still wonderful, good gifts that have value for building the kingdom. And our prayer is that God will give us creativity to use these in new ways, use these gifts to glorify him, serve others, and share the good news. As we grow in relationships and encounters with Jesus, our response should be to serve him by serving the needs of those around us. In serving, we find additional opportunities to see the face of God as we help. And then our last resolution point is considering how and where will we grow deeper with God in this new year? In the verses 35 through 7, we shift our thinking towards thinking more how to connect more deeply with God here. Jesus steps aside to a solitary place to pray. So how will you connect and deepen your relationship with God? Stepping aside to a solitary place is certainly one way to do so. I enjoyed last year as we were digging through the Good and Beautiful God book. I'm sure the church has plenty of copies of that still, describing different ways to connect with God. And in working through those things as little experiments, we maybe find powerful ways to connect with God that we haven't experienced before. Some of those experiments might take on a whole different look or meaning as we reflect on those in the current light of things. Now, I have to confess, finding a solitary place to do just about anything sounds totally incredible. And that might be my stage of life with small children speaking. But I think it's also just generally the pace of our world and the amplified voices that we experience every day. Aaron has mentioned the power in turning certain media voices off when we find them having power in our life. That is a great thing. As I read this chunk of verses, one of the challenges comes to me when I read the first thing that comes out of the disciples' mouth when they find Jesus. They say, "Everyone is looking for you." Some commentaries I checked out viewed this statement as an indication of how popular Jesus had become, the disciples wanting him to know that. As in my passage reading it, it hit me a little different this time around. I've always thought taking time out to pray sounds like a great idea. I know that it will deepen my connection with God and grow the relationship. And just a chance to reflect and bring things to God. But it tends to fall into my, if nothing else is happening, or maybe if no one needs me, or maybe even there's not something else that I should be doing, kind of category. Those louder tasks, whether those are the people, tasks, unfinished things, projects around the house, things at work, tend to crowd out those quieter, less in-my-face tasks. I read a fantastic little book a few months ago called Upstream by Dan Heath, and it's more business-oriented, but it does have some relevance to our topic today. In a chapter about human bandwidth, the capacity to do things, Dan talks out that we'd expect the big problems in our life to crowd out the small problems because we want to prioritize those big things. But he's pointing this out because, as it turns out, human behavior tends to do the exact opposite. We tend to crowd out the really big, important things in our life with sometimes the smaller things that keep us busy so we don't end up focusing on the bigger things. I was busy helping the family and checking tasks off at work, and maybe prayer didn't cross my mind. It's definitely not that prayer was less important than all those other items that I was doing. In fact, especially, you know, around work, my relationship with God is significantly more important than, you know, maybe grabbing the mail or simple tasks like that. So those other items in my life crowded out the thing that maybe had the most power to transform my relationship with God, spending time in prayer with them. Those other voices were louder. The tasks were maybe simpler or quicker. And so I gravitated to them as an easy thing to check off. I like crossing things off a list, and it's a whole lot harder to cross off on my list, grow in a relationship with Christ. That is a bigger thing, and relationships don't tend to fit checklists or boxes to cross off to say we've done something. Growing relationship with Christ is a lot harder to check off than refinish my hardwood floors, or at least that's how I perceive it. But when I think back, and maybe now is a good time in this New Year's season to reflect on which of those options produces the more life to the fullest with Christ. There is there's a common expression when learning and teaching people about financial budgeting, that you can make a budget and tell your funds where you would like them to go, or you can not make a budget and wonder where all the funds went. The money will get spent either way. And I think our time is the same. I have learned this about myself. And it seems to be, maybe it's true for you as well. Left to my own devices, my prayer and connecting with God life will tend to take a back seat to the busyness of the day. And the challenge is, we're not necessarily talking about choosing to connect with God versus a list of 10 evil things that I'm saying no to. I'm talking about choosing to connect with God amidst a sea of other good and beneficial things and things that I like to do, even some that are just cultural shoulds. And in the midst of all of that, my priority is still to prioritize my relationship with God. Of course, there's plenty of other things in life that we shouldn't not do. And that just means it's time to get creative. It's not spending time in the morning praying alone or being with Sammy when he wakes up at 5 a.m. But maybe I need to learn how to see the opportunity to connect with God together, and teaching him how to connect and pray, having him teach me through the process as well. So it's a new year. I think it's a great time to be intentional about listening to God's call, allowing that to set the lens that we're looking at the next year through. And I think with some intentionality, we can inspect what might be in our life and routines that's holding us back in the race before us and shed those things, hopefully. Consider how to use your gifts and serve our community in Christ this year in new and different ways. And above all, set a pathway for how to grow closer to God in 2021 that involves some personal growth, as well as growth in connection with your North Park family. Even though New Year's resolutions are a cultural thing, what an opportunity to have in front of us. We get a chance to reflect and set resolutions for the year in front of us. And as the rest of a lot of our culture is doing so around as well. So maybe that'll produce an opportunity to share some of these Christ-centered goals with others and how we might grow in this new year. So let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunity to sit back and reflect. Thank you for the, as simple of a cultural trigger as it is, just the new year coming in front of us, God, we just thank you for that cultural annual reminder to reflect and think about a new year coming. God, we also thank you that you promise new life and a fresh start anytime, wherever the earth is on its travel around the sun, God. But we thank you for this special time. Would you help us each find time to reflect, think about how to grow in you, how to serve others, what might need to be left behind, and where you're calling us in the next few days, and think about what that might look like in 2021. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for the ways that you walk with us in the midst of these crazy times, God. We pray that you keep these things in our mind as we go about the business of the week. And thank you for a chance to be even virtually together today. We pray all this in your name.